Chapter 9. On Thursday, Roiland Bailey came back to school. His head was still bandaged from the injury. He seemed sobered by the experience. After English class, he hesitated before approaching Hakeem and Darcy in the hallway.
"How's it going?"
he asked. "Okay," Darcy said. "Glad to see you back in school. You feeling okay?"
"Yeah. Headache is about gone."
Roiland glanced at Darcy and Hakeem.
"Mom says you guys were a big help that first night."
"Well, your mom had her hands full with the little kids," Darcy replied.
"Yeah, well," Roiland said.
He looked as if he wanted to apologize for some of the things he had said to Hakeem before, but he could not quite bring it off. Not yet. Maybe later on, but not yet. So Roiland just smiled a little, shrugged, and walked away. Darcy glanced at Hakeem. He looked distracted. Maybe he was thinking about the fight again, how close he came to carrying a burden of guilt, deserved or not, for the rest of his life. Hakeem had not said anything about going out in quite some time. She wondered if it was all the pressure of preparing for the talent show, or maybe his father's illness. "Everything okay with you, Hakeem?" Darcy asked as they walked toward their next class.
"Yeah, Dad's going in for a checkup. I hope that turns out okay," Hakeem said.
A couple of girls from the cheerleading squad came running up to Hakeem. They told him he was sure to win the talent show. Hakeem smiled at them, his gaze seeming to linger on as they skipped away. Or maybe that was just Darcy's imagination. If Hakeem won the talent show, pretty girls from Blueford would be all over him. He was only human. Darcy figured she might not look all that appealing to him anymore. Darcy had wanted a boyfriend for such a long time, and her shyness had stood in the way. She really cared about Hakeem, but if he did not like her back, well, then she would just have to get past it. Like Grandma used to say before her stroke, life for most of us is lots of potholes and ruts, and we got to get past them and keep moving. That's the thing. Keep moving on, our heads held high. Darcy tried to hold on to Grandma's words for comfort, but the thought of Hakeem losing interest in her cast a shadow on her heart, and there would not be any words comforting enough to lift it. When Darcy got home from school that day, Mom was finishing a cup of coffee before leaving for the hospital.
"Sweetie, I didn't get a chance to ask you. How was dinner with your father?"
"Good, Mom. I had a nice talk with him. He liked to, you know, be more involved with the family again." Mom set her coffee cup down hard.
"Anything's possible, I guess. But don't expect too much, hear?"
Mom paused. "It's not that I'm still angry. Well, not much anyway, but that's not the main thing. What if I trusted him again and he went away again? Baby, I got a life now. We've got a life. It's not a great life, but at least I got some control. I know your father's real sorry for what he did, but I just can't put our lives back in that man's hands. Not yet. Maybe not ever."
"I understand, Mom," Darcy assured her. "Sweetie, don't get me wrong. He's your father, and he'll always be your father. I'm not standing in the way of any relationship he wants to build with you girls. As a matter of fact, that's the one good thing I do hope comes out of all this. But as far as him stepping right back into being my husband, well, that's a whole nother story. We'll just take that one real slow for now, okay?"
About 20 minutes after Mom left, Jamie came home from school. She flung her backpack on the kitchen table, poured herself a glass of orange juice, and sat down.
"Tyrone picked me to be his project partner in history class. We're gonna do a report on the guillotine. That's the big blade they used to chop people's heads off during the French Revolution. He is so hyped about it. Why are boys so weird?"
Darcy shrugged. "How should I know? Look at Hakeem. He acts like I don't even exist sometimes."
"Figures," Jamie responded.
"Boys only want to be bothered when you when they want you. Then you're supposed to drop everything you're doing and go running to see them. Tyrone's famous for that. We could be having a deep conversation, and if one of his boys comes along, he'll drop me right in the middle of a sentence to start talking about cars and stereo systems.
I would say it'll get better as they get older, but look at Mom. I'm not counting on it, Darcy observed. Do you think Mom and Dad are any closer to getting back together? He said he wants to get us a house. Girl, can't you just see the big parties we could throw in a big backyard? It'd be good for Grandma, too. She could sit out on the patio in her wheelchair, listen to the birds. Remember how she used to like to do that in her own yard? Darcy glanced out the window. There was plenty of daylight left to take Grandma down to the park for a little while if she was up to it. Darcy helped Grandma into a sweater and then into the wheelchair. They went down in the elevator and out onto the street. Are you warm enough, Grandma? Darcy asked, adjusting her sweater.
Oh, it's so nice out, Grandma said contentedly.
Darcy pushed the elderly woman down the sidewalk to the tiny park at the corner. It was not much more than a few stone benches and some large mulberry trees, but you could always count on hearing the birds singing and chattering as they scrambled through the branches. Do you hear the birds, Grandma? Darcy asked as she sat down on a bench by Grandma's wheelchair.
I hear them. I put the seed out for them yesterday. There were starlings and some little sparrows. Oh, Angel Kate, did you check the feeders this morning? I hope them greedy pigeons didn't get it all, Grandma fretted. And the bird bath. I cleaned it yesterday, but it gets dirty so quickly. And the starlings just have to take their morning bath. It just wouldn't do for the water to be dirty when they came.
Grandma thought she was back at her little house again, sitting in her garden where the bird feeders hung from every tree and a large stone bird bath dominated the middle of the yard. I took care of everything, Grandma, Darcy said. Just then, Keisha, a girl from Darcy's science class, appeared with her grandfather walking slowly beside her, his hand in the crook of her arm. Hi, Darcy, Keisha said. The girls introduced their grandparents to each other. Grandma smiled in the vague way she had lately. Even though she was confused when she met new people, her own natural graciousness always shone through. She had always been a warm, welcoming person, and now she rose to the occasion.
So nice to meet you, she said to Keisha's grandfather.
When Keisha and her grandfather moved on, Grandma said,
What nice people. We must have them over for dinner soon. I'll make sweet potato pie. I made one yesterday, and Mama said it was as good as hers.
They stayed in the park until the air turned chilly, and then Darcy pushed the wheelchair home. When she neared her building, she saw her father's silver Toyota parked outside. As Darcy wheeled Grandma towards the elevator, Dad got out of the car. He had not seen his mother-in-law since he came back, and now he stood there looking even more bewildered than Grandma. The last he had seen of Grandma more than 5 years ago, she had been full of energy. Now she sat frail and shrunken in the wheelchair. He had probably kept the memory of the feisty little woman with the twinkling brown eyes, and now that image was surely shattered by reality. Grandma, Darcy said softly, Dad is here. 5 years ago, Grandma was quite aware that Dad had left. She had called him many choice words over the years. Grandma could cuss someone out with the best of them, but after her stroke last year, the memory of his abandonment had blurred. Most of the time, Grandma thought Carl Wills was away on a business trip.
Hello, Carl, she said, staring at the big, burly figure before her. I'm glad you're home.
Darcy's father reached down, took Grandma's hand, and kissed it.
It's good to see you too, Annie.
He always called his mother-in-law Annie, and during the first 11 years of the marriage, Grandma and Dad had a wonderful relationship.
How are you, Carl? Is everything all right at work? Grandma asked.
Just like syrup on hotcakes, Annie, Dad replied with a warm laugh.
Grandma turned and looked at Darcy.
Well, Angel Cake, what a nice surprise. Your daddy is home early. My word, what a treat.
Darcy stood there, gripped by sadness over all that used to be and never would be again. Her father saw the look in her eyes and reached and pulled her against him. Darcy left some tears on his shoulder before they separated.
Daddy, I'm glad you've come back, she sniffed.
I'm glad to know that.
Dad smiled at her, his eyes wet with tears.